item, item number 12.
Item number 12 is from the Office of the Sheriff, a report regarding projected Hubert revenue deficits of 2011 with a proposed action plan and ordinance change. This is referred to the Committee on Judiciary and General Services. At the time, when Judiciary scheduled this, there was not a resolution in that. They did address it in there, but they are, Judiciary rejected the action plan on a vote of 4-2.
Who the one who voted?
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you introduce yourself?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Inspector Rich Schmidt, Sheriff's Office.
John Preby, Fiscal Administrator of the Sheriff's Office.
All right, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Preby will go through kind of the details of our proposal in a moment. But before we go there, based on some of the comments and questions that were presented at Judiciary, I thought it would be probably a good idea if I addressed the first half of our corrective action plan, which is the removal of three of the WCS programs. I am very happy that two of the WCS representatives are here, the director of WCS, Holly Patzer, and Clarence Johnson is also here, so if they choose to speak, of course, that presentation can be made if they choose. What I wanted to point out, because of questions that were specifically raised at me at Judiciary regarding the three different programs that we're seeking to, actually we have actually stopped at this point, and what the repercussions are and what the alternatives are that exist for these three programs. The first, there's three specific ones. The first was assessments made of inmates, which is about a $58,000 fiscal year issue. We have the ability with internally to run the tests for literally about $1,100 with existing staff, and therefore that's the reason for the elimination of that piece. Second piece was the print shop training and job placement program of $48,700. That particular program, WCS has had basically a trainer there that spends a couple of hours a day going through potential, how to, what they can do for potential job placement and so forth. That program, unfortunately, due to whatever circumstances exist within the job market, have not been able to produce any jobs. So the program still exists. We still have inmates working the print shop. We have our own staff that are, we have paid staff that works with these particular inmates. So the program as such will continue. Just the quote-unquote job training piece of that is what's being eliminated. The big item, the $242,000, which is job-seeking skills and development. This is, of course, it's a huge piece of money, and what we looked at was what are the results that are being produced based on whatever factors exist in the economy right now and so forth. We did go back and do a complete analysis of the WCS statistics from 2010, and by no means am I finger pointing at that organization. It's simply the issues that are within our system right now, the economy, job placement, and so forth. It's extremely difficult, and we understand that. In 2010, if some of you may or may not have read their annual report, they show about 60 placements. Out of that, when we ran our report, there were about 30 employed at the time, or that were listed on the report. And when we went through and examined how many of those individuals actually kept the job for 30 days or more, we found 12 individuals. So it's, admittedly, it's very tough. I understand there's a myriad of different circumstances, so that's why we chose to take that program out. Now, that does not leave the inmates without the potential of job training, which is the big factor I want to stress today, and one that I think I did a poor job at Judiciary and raised significant questions. The reason why this is not an elimination of all job placement, we still have the day reporting center, which is run by the courts and the chief judge. They took over the day reporting center, as you well know, at the beginning of this year. Job placement, job training, and so forth still exists at the day reporting center. they would have to speak to, of course, the fiscal implications involved with expanding that program. But if you look at the statistics and the data that exists from WCS, they were able to place 60 people in a year. And again, I don't think that is an unreasonable number to try and work with the Huber inmates and have them transferred to the day reporting center if the judges involved in those particular cases so choose. So it's not an elimination of quote-unquote inmate programming. It is certainly a different paradigm that has existed up to this point, but it doesn't eliminate inmate programs. In fact, there are quite a few different inmate programs that still exist at the South. And I'll stop at this point.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Mayo asked, I think he asked, what supervisors voted in the affirmative as it relates to the rejection of the corrective action plan. That would be Supervisors DeBruin, Broderick, Jurczyk, and Johnson.
Okay. The four votes.
Four, yeah. Four
to we ten. Have two people who would like to speak on this. We have Holly Paxer and Clarence Johnson.
Yeah.
You can get them to come forward.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Committee. I'm Holly Patzer, Executive Director of Wisconsin Community Services.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. I'm Clarence Johnson from Wisconsin Community Services.
Good morning.
Clarence is the Associate Executive Director, and actually now some of his oversight includes this programming. Clarence has been with us since about last May. I guess we felt the need to respond on a couple of levels. One is the economic conditions clearly have been devastating for the population we serve. We know that. In 2006, we placed 239 people, and we've been doing this for 30 years, so this isn't like everything is about 2010. But in 2005, we placed just under 200. In 2006, we placed 200-some. Economy started to go a little south at the end of 2007. We placed 204. In 2008, it went down further, which we know the economy was starting to go down even more then. It was 151. In 2009, we placed 80. And in 2010, we placed 60. We're the same agency that's been doing this all along. So I guess, you know, that's the point there, that there were economic conditions. Another factor which really has not been highlighted enough, in my opinion, so I'm here to highlight it, is that there have been huge systemic changes. And I am not passing judgment or criticizing those changes by any means, because the safety and security of inmates and people who work at those facilities is obviously of utmost importance. So what I am here to say is that the system changed, and that the contract and the benchmarks and the whole model was based on there being a CCC. So the CCC went away. So when the CCC went away, the way the program gets done and the expected outcomes were not altered in any way, but yet the system changed. So people weren't able to go out in the same manner. The community access is dramatically limited without having a CCC. We all know the CCC was in poor condition, and again, passing no judgments, just saying the system changed. So there were external and internal factors that made it difficult to do the work. So, you know, there were a lot of policy changes, and I outlined them in my letter that I think that was passed on to the committee, that I provided to the Sheriff's Department, because their termination letter indicated underperformance, which concerned me, because while there may have been underperformance, it certainly was not due to WCS. Well, obviously we all have some role in something. I'm saying it was not a primary factor. We had changed nothing. We had gotten incredible outcomes for years and years and years and years and years, and then there's a new system, and all of a sudden we're getting one-third the jobs. So, you know, I guess I just feel it's important to go on record that there were a number of factors, and again, understand why a lot of those rules had to be changed, but there was no community access. It's different, and people who are out in Franklin and need to wait for a bed to move in downtown, the whole system was log jammed in so many ways. And I can't even imagine what it would be like to try to manage that facility and shift all those people around and pretrial. And so, again, understand the challenges. The reality is that there was an impact. So not as many people were available for classes. Now there's an escorting policy, so people couldn't just walk to the WCS class. Now they had to be escorted. Well, they have to do I don't know how many thousands of escorts in a week. So the number of inmates who even could get to the classes, our assessments went down. And we don't determine all of this stuff. It's not all in our control, I guess is what I'm going to say. So if the county wants to continue to have any Huber programming and Huber support for job readiness and job training and job placement, it's not going to work at the South facility. So I'm not here to say, oh, please, please, please reinstate our funding and let's do it the way we've always been doing. It's not effective. It's not cost effective either. If the county and the committee and the board feels that it is important to retain those services, I would strongly urge the county to consider moving whatever portion anyone determines is appropriate to the Day Report Center and expanding the employment services for Huber inmates there. Now, we have one FTE there, but one FTE working in a vacuum. Now all the backup support and the management of those people, those are gone. Those jobs are gone. So it was related. The one FTE out at the Day Report Center had support and backup and supervision from the people who lost their jobs. So what I'm saying is, now it's not going to be effective to have one person dangling out there. I mean, we're going to do it, and we're doing it, but it's an impediment, and lots of people are losing their jobs, and God knows what's going to happen to the world the way things are going around here. But I'm here to say that if it is important to retain any of these services, that there should be a consideration for moving it into a different model, because the system has changed and the model and the outcomes were not changed with it. And this is not a WCS issue. This is a systemic issue. And we are committed to working with this population. Committed to working with this population. The DOTS program is oftentimes thrown in there. That's for straight timers. They're not the Huber population. So we don't do any job training at the Day Report Center currently. We do the job readiness and the job placement. The welding program, I think Clarence can talk about that, but I know the committee and the board has always loved the WCS welding program, even though the county does not pay for it. So that's not really at issue, but we do have some issues to manage it internally. So I guess I just felt it was really important to get that out there and to say that if in fact at some point a certain amount of money does get shifted over or all of it or whatever to the Day Report Center, and there will have to be a concerted effort to look at how to do those services in that model with the buy-in of the judiciary and the buy-in of the Sheriff's Department, because of course people's access is still affected by those policies. So it needs to be a collaborative effort. The whole Day Report Center is going out for bids, so it's not like we might even not be the people who get it in the future. But I do think that it's a matter of priorities, and maybe this isn't one. But if it is one, there's a different way to do it, is basically what I wanted to say.
Supervisor Joseph.
Mr. Cady, could you tell us how much the board put into the sheriff's budget for this program, the Wisconsin Community Services?
$350,000. Yeah, it's $350,000.
$350,000. $248,240. Yeah. $248,000. Mr. Chairman, is a motion appropriate at this point? I'm going to ask that $350,000 be removed from the sheriff's budget budget and put in contingency funds at this time, and I'm going to then review this situation with a possible recommendation as to those funds that we're putting into contingency funds and the appropriate planning of that.
Okay. Supervisor Jurczyk has made a motion. Any discussion on that motion?
Quick question.
Inspector?
Mr. Chair, obviously the Sheriff's Office would be opposed to that. For one major issue, of course, is that if we could, I would like Mr. Preedy to continue with the reasonings on that and go through our complete proposal first. This is in the reduction of that $350,000 is related to the $900,000 structural deficit that exists right now with Uber programming, and to take that money and shift it, of course, is not going to enhance what we're trying to do to help the county in balancing the budget with this. So if you wouldn't mind, if I can ask for that leniency, I'd like Mr. Preedy to continue before it will shake him.
We'll give Mr. Preedy an opportunity to talk, but Mr. Johnson, did you have something that you would like to add?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I just wanted to briefly follow up on this, Ms. Patz's very passionate and eloquent comments regarding the services that we provided to the Huber inmates. And just to clarify, the welding program that we have operated out there for many years, which was never part of the Sheriff's Office contract, will no longer be available. That training program will be discontinued at the House Correction, or CCFS, I'm sorry. As of March the 18th, our plan is to find additional resources to relocate them back in the community. Even though we had the opportunity to have the program remain out there, the funding was not available for one thing, and also the program as it exists right now is not sustainable without the referral mechanisms to feed persons into that, and also the additional staff out there to support it. So unfortunately, a program that's been had a very positive impact out there will also no longer be available to those inmates, and that's unfortunate. But our hope is that we're able to relocate that in the community and that individuals will have access to it in the coming months and years.
Any further questions? We have Supervisor Dimitri Avis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While you all are up here, may I ask, Mr. Chairman, how you see, or is this affecting, I know you talked about the welding, the print shop, and all the wonderful work that we do out there. I can't remember if you all have, at least in the form of job placement, I know that you work with that. That was one question I have, Mr. Chairman.
I don't know if you know the answer better.
Well, the print shop training, as Inspector Schmidt indicated, we no longer will have an operation out there, a staff person out there, but as he indicated a moment ago, he'll continue to provide some, I suppose, basic access to inmates for that program. But in terms of the WCS role, it's diminished. We will not have the person out there to facilitate the training, nor to facilitate the placement of those persons into the printing industry.
But you did do that previously, right?
Yes, we did.
Well, and then the placements, as Inspector Schmidt said, have been low because of the economy. But, if people come out of the facility, we're not going to turn them away if they...
Can you address the chair, please?
Yes, sorry about that. We're not going to turn people away if they come out of the facility and they took printing and they're looking for someone to help them find a job. We're not going to turn them away. We're trying to maintain staff with a little bit of United Way money and block grant money. And we're also working with the Department of Corrections to try to serve some people. So we're not going to stop serving people. We're just going to lose sort of that pipeline. But if somebody does take some printing training at the South facility by virtue of the in-house printing system that exists there, and they walk out and they're looking for someone to help them get a job and they come to WCS, we're certainly going to still try to help them, but it won't be a formalized pipeline.
Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for allowing me to speak. That's very disappointing. We've come a long way, and we owe it to people that are out there doing the work and doing the printing, and a lot of them are actually women. We know, and this is nothing new to this committee, and that's actually a great success. And I think that they'll be doing the work and the training, but losing that last component. And I realize WCS will still provide it in a different shape or form, but we have a nice oiled machine out there that I think was making progress. And, you know, lastly, this also seems like a broken record. Every time that the sheriff has a deficit or some sort of situation in his budget, the first thing that gets looked at is, are these programs? And I'm getting sick of it. Because, hello, this is frustrating and it's so short-sighted. These are the kind of programs that prevent people from coming back. I mean, it's so obvious that it's ridiculous even to say it. But if we can get people good jobs and placements in the community, isn't it, that's why we call it a correctional facility, to help correct and rehabilitate. I know we changed names, but I still think that it's to help people and to make a change. So I support the motion, by Supervisor Jurisdyk. I think it's a great motion. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Jurisdyk.
I'm going to correct the number on my motion. Mr. Cady pointed out that there's actually a slightly different number because of the fact that we're not at the beginning of the year, there's been some costs and so on. So my motion would be that because of the termination of the contract would result in savings of $291,135. I would move that we move $291,135 into contingency right now, and then I'm going to continue working on this, Mr. Chairman. I would expect I'd have another motion or another resolution to bring next month. But just to follow up on Supervisor Dmitrievich's comment, we don't control the sheriff's budget, obviously. He's an elected official. He makes decisions. I have no doubt that he's running a pretty tight shop out there. But this board put money into his budget for these purposes, and he is now saying that those purposes are not going to be used anymore because he's attempting to use that money for something else. And while we don't control the sheriff's operation, we do control how we decide to spend money and the policy for which it's being spent. So I think I'm being very consistent. If the sheriff doesn't want to continue that contract, that then we, the policymakers, take that contract out. We may be able to direct it to the Day Reporting Center or some other purposes, which is consistent with our budget planning, and that's why I'm doing that. And I just want to correct that number, and I thank Supervisor Dmitrievich for her comments.
Supervisor West, followed by Supervisor Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also support the motion made by Supervisor Jurisdyk. I remember this as, at least in my mind, being one of the major sticking points with the sheriff's budget in the 2011 budget deliberation. And we discussed this at length and whether or not this could be done and how much it could be done for. I remember the sheriff saying that he didn't need the money added in, that he could, whatever budget he was given, he could live within, and that he would perform these duties. And I think Supervisor Dmitrievich is absolutely correct in that if we ever want any hope of lowering the recidivism rate in Milwaukee County, this is going to be an integral part of that. You can't expect for people to stop committing crime if they're doing that, trying to sustain themselves, if we're not giving them another alternative. And I think we have some great programs going on out at the House of Correction. And I understand, you know, the Day Reporting Center also does some wonderful work with inmates. So does the Men of Color Task Force, or the Men of Color, or the Men's Committee on Work Reform for Milwaukee County. And we've had success. And there's a lot of different programs out there currently that perhaps Milwaukee County isn't using that we could be involved in, such as the transitional jobs program that are allowing opportunities for people that are re-entering our society from prison. And so I think instead of, and again, I share the disappointment that's been voiced by a couple of my committee members already, instead of just going ahead and trying to drop the entire program, you know, can we look at doing something else? And so, again, I'm going to support Supervisor Jurisdyk's motion. I think that there are other options out there. Again, I think WCS, again, has performed for us very well. The economy, obviously, has a lot to do with when you walk into Walmart and see people that you used to, you know, see working at your bank or working for We Energies or AT&T, and they're now, you know, checking you out as a cashier or waiting on your table. You know that you're in a very seriously competitive job market. And that's something that we need to be cognizant of. And so I don't want to rush to, you know, to do anything different with this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Smith.
I had some similar thoughts of what's been expressed. I didn't like to just see the programs go away. What the alternatives? Maybe we have some. Mr. Preby has a couple comments that we'll hear. But you know, I go back to the budget too. I mean. We had these very difficult decisions. I see the chief judge. It might be appropriate to ask the chief judge here, because we not only put that $350,000 into the sheriff's budget, but, $291,000, I guess. Yeah. But and that's a good thing, and maybe we should look and we'll look and how we can parcel this out a little bit. But we put the $900,000 into the Criminal Justice Resource Center. We've been talking about this every year, of course, and then we... You know, every year the county executive, of course, never put money into that. And this is something, you know, if we're truly on board, and we got this panel coming up with the Chief Justice and Sheriff Clark and John and District Attorney Chisholm, and we're all looking at ideas. We know that the terrific cost of incarceration and what criminal justice costs us, and we're looking at budgets. I would hope we would try to do everything and anything possible is to lower recidivism, try to give programs, to try to do anything to keep our people from going back to jail, this revolving door that just costs us, not only us, but the families. That we all know the scenario, okay. But the point being is that in the Criminal Justice Resource Center, maybe the chief judge could help us out or someone else, is that some of this is being done, and I'd like to see those monies principally go into that. But again, I'm looking for alternatives. If we're not seeing results in one area, and you know, I appreciate what the sheriff has done. I think all of us do, because we asked in finance a number of years ago to start doing some kind of balanced budget that wasn't done for many years in that department. And there's some real results there, and we should give some credit there too. And in taking over the you know, in Franklin and doing what he's done there has been admirable. And so I'm not trying to take monies away from the sheriff and try to make his budget more difficult. And I know this is kind of the impetus to it. And your main job out there is protection and security. And if these programs are not prioritized or in your plans and they're not getting the results that, for whatever reasons we heard, there's certainly some extenuating circumstances, well, maybe it's time then. And they should go to somewhere where it can be prioritized, or is indeed the Day Reporting Center, which should be doing most of this work, which is doing some anyway. So I guess that's my question. I don't know if the chief judge, I don't want to put him on the spot, but is this a place where monies could go? And then we get this terrific pressure always to do something here, and we ask Mr. Chisholm, and we ask the chief judge, and we ask the sheriff, well, you know, can you put some monies into this? You have your difficulties in your own budgets, which you're working with, and maybe we can use this money then to for the criminal justice resource. So I'd like to hear some comment on that if we could, since the Chief Justice is here. Yeah. I put him on the spot, so I hope you don't mind.
Don't mind. Good morning, Chairman.
Good morning.
Supervisors. I would respond this way, I guess, in terms of Supervisor Jurczyk's motion. If there were additional monies available and an inclination by the board, I would be very happy to look at expanding the program at the Day Reporting Center to encompass many of these functions. You put me on the spot. I hope I'm not putting Inspector Schmidt on the spot by saying that we've had conversations in the past about that this might be a better place for these kinds of activities and programs, and I'm certainly willing to work with Supervisor Jurczyk or anybody else on the board to develop a program to expand the programs at the Day Reporting Center to encompass some more job training and job placement services. Look, if the last 3 or 4 years have taught us anything with respect to the Day Reporting Center, and really more years than that with the Day Reporting Center, is that we have to be smarter about how we use our justice system dollars. We cannot build enough prisons and staff enough prisons to house everybody for the rest of their life that ever commits any kind of a transgression. We have to figure out what is going on with some of these folks and what it will take to get them to pick a different course in life. If not, then we're just going to go down a spiral of ever-increasing expenditures that we can't afford. And what we've seen, and even voices on the far right now are calling for a reduction in prison programming, and instead get the programs in the community where they are more cost-effective. Obviously, we have to do all of this with the mind, keeping in mind public safety and not doing anything that reduces public safety. One of the things the sheriff has done, and I commend him for it, is he has used a risk assessment tool to figure out who, in his judgment, can be placed in the community on some form of electronic monitoring. And we have done that in the courts as well on the pretrial side. We have to continue to do that, and we're in the midst of a national grant that's looking at that and finding other ways that we can use best practices and evidence-based decision-making to maintain public safety, but also work with people in the community and address the root cause of their criminal activity so that they don't keep cycling back through the system. So, short answer, I'd be very happy, and I think it would be very appropriate to look at moving some of these programs to the Day Reporting Center.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? If we can have the inspector and Mr. Preedy come forward again.
Chairman, just a couple of comments, and then I'll turn the mic to Mr. Preedy. As Mr. Preedy will shortly point out, there is no money to transfer in a sense, in that we do have a significant hole that is in the budget that does derive out of Huber. If indeed that's something the board wishes to entertain, and I obviously can, if anyone's listening, understands where the position of multiple supervisors are at, maybe something they wish to entertain in 2012, the budget, the job market right now, and so forth, I don't think will sustain it. Our data shows it won't sustain it. That's 200 and some odd thousand dollars that is not supported by the data, either from what's taking place at the South Facility or the statistics from the Day Reporting Center. Next year, maybe it'll be a better market, and it may be something worth looking at. So I would, certainly from our position, the Sheriff's Office position, is to leave the money where it's at the present time, based on what Mr. Preeby will now review. Mr. Preeby, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Preeby.
The report before you is a projected revenue deficit. Waukee County Ordinance requires that I report any projected revenue deficit over $75,000. We have a projected revenue deficit for Huber Board of $911,000. This deficit, you may recall, was something that was pointed out as a problem when deliberations were underway preparing the 2011 adopted budget. It's the one thing that I brought forward to this committee as a significant concern. I did not believe that we would come anywhere near 156 employed Huber inmates.
Mm-hmm.
This committee and board chose to adopt that high level, and I'm back here reporting that based on recent history, goes back to the last 5 months, we've only averaged a little over 50 employed inmates. State statute requires us to do something about that deficit. So we've brought forward a corrective action plan. We have taken action to discontinue the WCS contracts because they were not cost-effective expenditures. No one's disputed that. Some of the training that has been mentioned with the print shop, that training is not going away. The inmates are still in the print shop being trained by our staff as they always have been. What has ended with this termination of the contract is some classroom time spent with WCS. The print shop still operates as it has. Nothing's changed. There are other training opportunities for inmates. This isn't the only training. We aren't ignoring the needs for inmates to receive training. We have MATC out here. Franklin schools are out here. We have AOTA treatment. Aramark has a training program for food service. The print shop continues. We are not ignoring the training needs of the inmates out in Franklin. The rest of this report is a series of fee changes to increase revenues to partially offset the lost revenue from Hubers. If you want, I can go through them individually and or just respond to any questions about each of them. The first is related to sheriff sales. Currently, we do not charge anything when a sheriff sale is adjourned. Other counties have examined the situation and determined that an adjournment of a sale is the equivalent of canceling a sale and rescheduling a sale, which entitles them to charge the additional $75. So we wish to bring that forward for your consideration. If you adopt that increase, we estimate an increase of about $100,000 in revenue for the rest of this year. Another change, picking up from other counties, they've increased their civil process fees based on a lump sum prepayment. We're proposing $60 as an upfront payment as opposed to the current system of charging $35 for each attempt. The current system requires us to track all attempts, to send out invoices for anyone that has two or three attempts on a paper, engage in collection activities. This is very labor intensive and does often result in bad debt. If we have a one-time payment of $60 up front, we can eliminate the invoicing and collections activity, and the revenue would increase slightly, plus we'd reduce some expenses in tracking this revenue. We also propose setup fees for GPS and Scram. Again, the program administered by the court for pre-trial detainees in their system, they have a setup fee that they're charging. We currently don't charge anything to set up these programs, so we're asking for consideration of increasing the fees the same as the courts currently have. And the last item, which may be a bit aggressive, is anyone on home detention would pay for the cost of the equipment rental. If you're on voice print system, it costs us $1.25 a day. If you're on GPS, $5 a day. On Scram, $8.25 a day. If you're on a combination of Scram and GPS, $13.25 a day, that you'd simply pay for the equipment costs related to your home detention. And we project that would generate an additional $290,000 for the remainder of this year. All of these revenue increases combined with the actions for WCS is still short of the deficit of $911,000. And we continue to look for other options to try and offset that 9/11. A proposal now to cut our budget by the $291,000 we would save would now leave us $400,000 short of offsetting this deficit, as opposed to maybe a $100,000 shortfall.
Supervisor Jerzyk, followed by Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you. First of all, I think the sheriff is going to be dealing with deficits like everybody else is. I'm going to just get that out there, but because we did not do this in judiciary, quite frankly, in judiciary, I was looking at it for the first time and so on. This is a slightly different tact, if you will, than judiciary took. We're going to take the $291,000 since we're canceling the contract with WCS. I'd be willing to suggest that for finance, if we can entertain the motion, which I made, which it sounds like there is fairly good support, that for the instead of a denial of the sheriff's request, that we lay this over until next month, give them an opportunity to come back with a different correction plan on that deficit. So we could at least then entertain the kinds of fees they're talking about here rather than just flat out denying it. So we can at least possibly offer that to the sheriff. I still think this board wants to be consistent, however, You know, we put money in the sheriff's budget for Wisconsin Correctional or Wisconsin Community Services that we will be consistent and yet perhaps give them an opportunity to come back with a different plan on the deficit for next month by doing the layover. So I would suggest that. I would like to hold off on the layoff, though, until we've taken a formal vote on my first motion, which is the transfer 291 over to contingency fund.
Okay. Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As it relates to the fees, as I said during the Judiciary Committee meeting, that corrective action plan is something that I can support. Mr. Prevey has brought it to our attention that as it relates to the $291,000, it's something that the Office of the Sheriff does not have. Therefore, the projected revenue deficit, notice of the projected revenue deficit. Supervisor Jurczyk and I could work toward doing something else, but she just suggested that maybe the sheriff's office department would come forward with another plan. These fees are very important. As getting these fees enacted is very important as it relates to providing revenue for the sheriff's department. So I just wanted to say that the fee structure is very important, and it's something that we really should take a good look at, whether it's going to be now or whether it's going to be next month. I just wanted to put that out there. Okay.
Supervisor West?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question in regards to the Wagon Hut contract that the sheriff had that was going to save the sheriff's department. I believe it was $140,000 last year. And substantially more this year. I wanted to know if those savings have been realized by the Sheriff's Department in regards to that contract.
Director, Mr. Prevey.
Mr. Chairman, actually, Mr. Prevey did put a report together on that. He's going through his notes.
Committee members all had a copy of that report in front of them.
Oh, all right.
They have two different reports. One on the savings.
Was this passed out this morning?
They were on your.
Oh, okay.
Those attached for them.
Oh, okay.
Result. Yeah.
And the report labeled item number 12 speaks to the Wagon Hut savings.
I think it's 14.
It is 14.
It is actually under 14.
It is 14.
You asked for this information.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to address it at that time or whichever.
I think you better.
I can hold my questions until item number 14, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah, item number 14. Any other questions? Mr. Creevy, what impact has the change in the sheriff's, I guess, hierarchy structure made on your budget deficit? There was a number of changes from what, deputy to lieutenant, and I'm not really sure what the changes were, but I'm sure that there was some kind of pay adjustment with
Mr. That. Chairman, that actually is on the agenda as another item. We have a proposal to replace deputy sheriff sergeants with CO lieutenants, mm-hmm. which is a continuation of a past policy change that corrections the jail should be staffed with corrections officers as opposed to law enforcement officers. We've now reached the point that two-thirds of the staff in that facility are correction officers, so it was appropriate for us at this time to bring forward the next layer and switch to a correction officer lieutenant as the supervisor of those correction officers as opposed to a law enforcement deputy sheriff sergeant position. The time is also appropriate for us in that we have many vacant deputy sheriff sergeant positions. So if we made the switch now, you wouldn't have a situation of waiting to have vacancies occur and fill these through attrition. We could take actions fairly quickly to make the switch. But that again is on
some of those
items
that have already been implemented, correct?
That particular issue has not been implemented. That's a proposal before us. We need the creation of the CO lieutenant slots before we move forward with that.
Yeah, but other things have taken place, correct?
The most significant changes are related to
taking over the House of Correction, the CCF South, the closing of CCC operation, restructuring how things are occurring at the South facility. And you see from the overtime information that has been provided and the fact that the multi-million dollar deficits that had been occurring at the South facility have been eliminated. So those changes have been materialized.
And none of those things address my question, Mr. Preeby. My question specifically is, we have made changes in the structure at the Sheriff's Department thus far, and change from CO1, CO2, lieutenant, deputy, whatever you want to call them, we have made some of those changes thus far, correct?
We have made a transition from deputy sheriff in the jail to correction officer.
Okay, and what impact has that had on our expenses as it relates to wages and the current deficit that we're facing?
As each budget is prepared, we change the number of funded deputy sheriffs and increase the number of funded COs. So each budget, funds are being reduced to reflect those changes. I don't have that information in front of me to know what the cost difference would have been if we had kept 300 deputies in the jail as opposed to budget this year of 50. I'm sorry, I don't have that with me at this time to make that calculation, but it is literally millions of dollars of cost savings that have been realized with this, but that's been reflected in reduced budgets each year.
Okay. Well, I'd like to have that report in front of me, the structure of the changes.
Okay.
Are there any further questions? We have two motions before us. Supervisor Jerzyk has requested a transfer of $291,000 out of the sheriff's budget into contingency funds.
Okay.
We also have the layover. Can you read, I guess,
Mr. Chairman, if we could have a vote on that motion first, and then if successful, I would move the layover. That's what instead of outright denying, to really try to give the Sheriff's Department an opportunity to revisit the deficit. Because we are taking some changes here that judiciary did not do.
Mr. Chairman, just one last comment, please. I certainly understand where these motions are coming from. What I would ask at least the supervisors to entertain, if everyone was up to speed 100% on the data that exists around what we're proposing today, or what's being proposed, and see what the actual data, the actual results are of the programs, it becomes, I'll say it from my perspective, it's rather obvious that this type of an expenditure just, it doesn't make sense. I'll leave it at that. So at a minimum, what I would ask for is if it would be entertained, can this vote also be laid over potentially to have everyone totally informed as to what the data speaks to as the results of having these programs, and I think it might be helpful in some of the decision making. Thank you.
Okay. So that motion would have to come from committee member, and we already have two motions. One vote from Supervisor Jerzyk.
If I'm correct, I think the Wisconsin Community Services contract has already been terminated.
Yes.
So it's already terminated. Okay. I'm just trying to be consistent with what this board did in its budget, so I'm not willing to change my motion.
Okay. Any further questions? Madam Clerk, will you read the first item before us?
The motion to remove $291,135 from the sheriff's account for this WCS contract and put it into the contingency. And then for further review of the plan that they have, their action plan. To allow for
that, I think the information you requested is
that can be totally.
Okay, I don't know if that was part of the second part from what I read, but
Mr. Chairman, trying to envision it, the motion that Supervisor Jerzyk is putting forward would be a by the committee action because it would not accompany the report. It would be coming without the resolution that they are proposing. So it would be, I would draft a resolution that would effectuate that motion to take. take $291,000 change from the Sheriff's Department to put in the appropriation contingencies. That would be a standalone resolution on the board floor.
And as I understand it, a two-thirds vote?
No.
It's not a two-thirds.
Wouldn't it be under suspension?
Well, it's two-thirds. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's two-thirds vote to suspend
the rules.
To
suspend the
rules.
Right. So, in effect, a two-thirds vote. That's fine. I understand.
Okay. And, Mr. Kay, just for clarity, the impact of the first motion before us would remove $291,000 from the sheriff's budget, and then the actions taken, if the first item is successful, the actions of the second motion would lay over that transfer until we receive a further report back.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, I could clarify is that Supervisor Jurczyk would want an action on the first one and then potentially lay over the rest of the matter. If the committee chose to take an action on the rest of the matter, I would envision incorporating her motion about transferring the monies from the Sheriff's Department in that resolution slash ordinance that's already there. That would be an additional be it further resolved. Use that as the vehicle to make that change. So the fee changes could go forward and be considered by the board, and also the ability to transfer money to appropriation contingencies. And answering a question, could they be divisible? Potentially, yes. Because the board would then have an option to do either of those items.
Mr. Chairman, just another point of order. If we treat it in the way Mr. Cady just described within the current resolution, I assume that would not require suspension rules.
That is correct.
Okay. Can I clarify something? The Committee on Judiciary, because they did not have the resolution when they got their packets, they're doing this, their rejection is by the committee because they technically didn't have it in front of them.
They're going to get killed again.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to then proceed with the just the standalone by the committee resolution that I offered.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for the removal of the funds into the contingencies.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. You want to vote on that now?
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that we're clear.
Are there any questions? Any further questions? No? Madam Clerk?
On the motion for the by the committee, Supervisors Mayo?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
No.
Motion approved, 4-2.
And the second item before.
Now you would like to also on this item lay over the action plan for them to come back in April.
Yeah, I speak on that before you vote. It'd be my preference if you would take an action on the fee increases today. The resolution that we brought forward really was focusing on the fee increases, was not focusing on the WCS contract at all. If you wanted to take action on the existing fee increases and then ask me to come back and try to find something else to plug the additional $300,000 from another source would be a preference to me as opposed to delaying a decision on any of these fee increases. I'd like to try and get the revenue as quickly as we can to start flowing.
Supervisor Jurczyk, are you open to
I'm perhaps open to that. I mean, the comments I made in judiciaries, I'm question whether they're going to get the fees because I know how attorneys, $35 to what is it, $60 from the process, they're going to go to private process service. So I'm not so sure they're going to realize the fees they're requesting. I don't necessarily object to the increasing of the fees. And in perhaps in fairness to Mr. Creevy, I'll at least move amendment of the action by judiciary removing the 291. I would then move approval of that with the amendment of removing the 291. I'd be willing to do that. I'm not so sure I've stated it correctly.
I think, Mr. Chairman,
it was
I
a
believe
denial
what
by
judiciary. Supervisor Jurczyk is saying that if the committee moves forward with the resolution ordinance that was put forth by the Sheriff's Department, she would incorporate her transfer of the monies 291 into that resolution. One resolution ordinance with taking, you know, allowing the fee increases to go forward, but removing the 291 to the appropriation for contingency.
Correct. As a courtesy to Mr. Preedy and the sheriff, I understand he's got a deficit, and I'm trying to work with him on that. I don't appreciate the fact that he automatically takes money that was budgeted for a different item. That was the first piece of this. I'm willing to listen to the concerns of the committee in terms of how this is moving forward. I can certainly work with someone else if they want to try to put it differently.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of the resolution. A lot of the discussion in the Judiciary Committee was about the corrective action plan and the fact that a majority of the committee did reject the corrective action plan. But that was a small paragraph in the report, and even though the emphasis was on that at the time because of the concerns of past practices and concerns that county board members have had in the past, as it relates to programs, they're actually, I don't even remember it, and I'm not going to my office to get my packet, but I move approval of the resolution so that we can go forward.
Excuse me, this is what they are proposing, their resolution in this.
On the fees. Yes, ma'am, on the fees.
So confused on the side.
On the fees.
Are you taking 2 minutes?
No, I'm not. No. Just the fees, yeah. Straight approval of the fees.
Of
the fee structure.
Taking the 291 out. He's just approving
the fee structure. He just answered
as the previous inspector put before.
So just the fees.
Right. Just the fees.
If I vote yes on Supervisor Johnson's resolution, just voting the fees.
We've already voted on the
291's already. Well,
we've already approved.
We've already voted.
But there's a different, completely different motion from the judiciary. If we're working on that one, it's not taking the 291 out. So I just
want
to clarify that.
That's true.
Mr. Chairman, can you help straighten this out?
From my standpoint, the policy would be that if the committee does approve the fees, the motion to Supervisor Jurczyk made and was approved by the committee would be melded right into that resolution,
okay,
giving policymakers a choice. That would come up under the finance agenda under the county board packet, which would be before
Judiciary.
Which would make judiciary.
They would have a chance to vote on that prior to the judiciary.
Let's pass the fees in.
Does that satisfy you?
That's fine. As long as I understand, I'm just voting on the fee increase now, not the removal of 291.
Okay, is everyone clear on what we're voting on now? Okay, before we.
Don't go for
limited. Any questions? Before we go on to some clarity, do we have any questions? Madam Clerk, can you clarify
what
we're
doing? That's what I was saying. I think what he's saying is, her first motion is going to be incorporated into the actual resolution from the department to approve these fees.
Number 12.
Okay. We're going to also add that part where we're taking the $291,000 and put it in the committee.
You already voted for that, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Recommendations brought before us by the inspector.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Supervisor Mayo, you have the floor.
When it was in judiciary, what did they reject?
We reject the correction.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm understanding we have two people on the judiciary, so they are in favor of the correction plans of raising the fees. Am I saying?
And Supervisor Johnson, you're the chair of
I'm the chair, and I could. Well, the resolution, Supervisor Jurczyk is indicating that we rejected the resolution. And that may have happened, but I know I voted for it. I don't want my packets in the office.
You voted for denial.
It's 4-2.
Voted for denial.
Yes,
the
it's
denial.
Rejecting, it's rejecting the,
whole thing.
The department's request.
Correct. Okay. Now, my understanding, you are changing to say you support the department in their
request of fees.
Fees. Yes.
But it's amended by taking out the 291.
And
instead of rejecting, we're approving.
And Mr.
Preview?
Mr. Preview.
Not Preview.
Inspector Schmidt.
You are in favor of increasing the fees, but my question is, increasing your fees, have you started reaping the benefits from what the freezer fees was? Was you getting that $5 from the inmate per day? Because I know you have a server 125. Now you're going to 225. Were you receiving that fund? And even though you stated earlier at the last sentence, even if they are unemployed, you're going to see can you get some things from it. But are you really looking and getting those revenues in? That's my question. Right.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I'm going to turn the mic to Mr. Preview to get the specifics on the budget piece. If I'm reading two questions into this, the first one would be the new proposal, basically just supporting the fees. We appreciate that being done. That does help us. And then I'll turn the mic to Mr. Preeby to ask the fiscal piece.
Currently, we aren't charging these fees. I am asking permission to increase these fees and begin charging. And if you agree with these increases, I have estimated the fiscal impact of each individual item in case you wanted to say yes to some and say no to others, that we could know what the total impact would be. So today, none of these fees are being charged.
Wait. So if I'm looking at the additional, at the last one for outside vendor pay each day, inmate voice printing, you pay $5. So you, the difference of the $125, you get $3.75. On the last paragraph, you are not getting that right now? You don't get $5?
We're not charging any of them right now. We're not charging $1.25 for voice print. We're not charging the $5 for GPS. There's three different fees here for three different types of service, and we're not charging any of this right now.
So this is all brand new. Everything here is brand new.
Yes.
Okay. And I move approval.
Supervisor Johnson is moving approval.
As amended.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay. Okay. We've got another discussion.
Exactly. Right. Okay.
Madam Clerk, will you read the motion before us and then call the roll, please?
Okay. What we're going to do is approve the resolution in front of us from the Sheriff's Office, adding a further be it resolved clause to take the money that is left from the WCS contract of $291,135 and put that into the contingency fund. And then you want them to come back with another, or you want a chance to review another action plan from them?
Yes.
Okay.
For the $291.
That's
separate.
Yes,
that's separate.
I'm going to
know.
I need to talk to you later.
I'm going to Supervisor Mayo. Okay. Call the roll, Madam Clerk, please.
Okay. On the amendment and the motion, whatever, Supervisor Mayo.
Right, you're right, whatever. No.
On the motion as amended.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
West.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to approve the resolution as amended 5-1.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on, item number 13.